you pray with me? Living God, for whom no door is closed, no heart is locked, draw us beyond our doubts till we see Christ. Amen. Paul Simpson Duke says that Thomas is a solid realist. So instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, as we've often heard, I'm going to think of him today as the solid realist, and a brave one at that. Although we don't know nearly as much about Thomas as we would like to. He comes up a few times in John's Gospel, and so we have to try to get to know him as best we can with a little bit of information. In John chapter 11, it seemed like he was the only disciple who understood that Jesus would die, even though Jesus had been trying to talk to them about this many times. Thomas understood that if they went closer to Jerusalem to see Lazarus and Mary and Martha, that he would die. And so he bravely, we think, maybe sarcastically, but I think bravely, said, let's die with him. And as they did get closer to Jerusalem, that was Jesus heading towards the end of his earthly life, but not for Thomas, at least not then. In John chapter 14, he was the brave student who raised his hand and said, Teacher Jesus, none of us have any idea what you're talking about. Would you please be a little more clear? Jesus was talking about the place that he was preparing for them and giving them all kinds of things that would make more sense after his resurrection. And Thomas was our solid realist who, wait, what? Can you be more specific? Can you get it down here on earth for us and be clear? For our passage today, it's Sunday night, so it's Easter Sunday night, very first Easter. Mary Magdalene had seen the empty tomb that morning, and then she, of course, had seen her living Lord as well. She went to the disciples with the news. But our first glimpse of the disciples having heard the news is not them celebrating or running around town, sharing the news, shouting it from the rooftops. No, they're together behind locked doors because they are afraid of the religious leaders, which kind of makes sense. Jesus had been taken and they were worried that they might be next. Thomas was not there. Man, I wish we knew why. One thing we know, he was not one of the ones behind the locked doors in that moment, not hiding in fear at that moment at least. As we're told in this passage, the locked doors were not a problem for Jesus at all. He came. Jesus stood among them. He said, peace. He showed them the scars on his hands and his side. Just kind of a strange greeting when you think about it. I don't show people my scar when I show up. But Jesus was showing them his wounds from crucifixion, healed but not erased, so that they would know that it was really him. That they would know that they weren't hallucinating or imagining things. He wasn't some sort of like spirit being. No, it was Jesus who was crucified, overcame death and fear and locked doors, and he stood among them in his real body with his scars to show that it was really him and he was really alive. Jesus then empowered them to go out and be the church. Peace. You are sent, he says. Receive the Holy Spirit. Forgive and be forgiven and get started in this ministry of forgiveness, which is what the church is all about. Go. Thomas came back later that night, I suppose. They shared their joy. They shared what they saw. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his sides, I will not believe, he says. Just seemed too good to be true. Our solid realist was trying to accept the harsh reality and face the facts. 1 week passed. The doors are still locked, so much for being sent out, right? Not quite ready. They need the Holy Spirit too, and that's coming later. The doors are still locked. Again, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace. This time, Thomas was there. Jesus turned to Thomas, said, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. As far as we can tell, Thomas didn't need to lean over closer and examine the scars. As far as you know, he didn't need to touch Jesus, but instead he fell to his knees and said one of the shortest and most powerful declarations of faith in our scriptures, my Lord and my God. It's not even a complete sentence. It's just this exclamation that bubbled over from a man who was overflowing with joy and wonder in recognizing his Lord and his God alive. To Thomas, Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. And Jesus keeps talking, but this time he's talking to us. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. To believers throughout the ages, he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Before we get more into what this has to do with us and our lives, I want to back up, I want to rewind in John, back to John chapter 11. I kept coming back to chapter 11 in this, in preparing for this sermon, and I think you'll see why. After burying her brother Lazarus, Mary and Martha talked with Jesus when he showed up after Lazarus had died. And Mary was the one, this is Mary of Bethany, yes, there's a lot of Marys. She fell at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That was her expression of her grief and disappointment. And in response, Jesus wept. He cried with her and then raised Lazarus from the dead. I thought of Mary Magdalene also, so now we're back in John 20. Mary Magdalene, upon finding the empty tomb and thinking that Jesus' body had been stolen, she cried in anguish. I mean, it was already bad enough, but she was so upset, and the reason Jesus came to her and spoke to her, and when he called her by name, she recognized him. Thomas said he would not believe that Jesus was alive unless he could see and touch and determine that it was really Jesus. And that he was really alive. Of course, the risen Jesus appeared to him, showed him the scars, and gave him the opportunity to look and see. So even though Jesus said, it's better for those who have not seen and yet believe. Even though Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. Even though the book of Hebrews has an entire chapter about faith, and it starts off saying faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith. Faith is better, and by definition, faith involves not seeing what we are hoping for. Even so, Jesus showed up for those in need, the Marys and Thomas, and he gave them hope. Jesus met Thomas in his doubt and helped him get all the way to the faith that he needed. He gave them what they needed to get past the barriers to faith and understanding. I noticed that the Marys and Thomas were all grieving when Jesus met them. They were overwhelmed with just a difficult time and difficult emotion. Susan Grove Easton said, "Jesus brings God's presence into the very suffering and losses that tempt us to mistrust God's goodness and power." When loss was a barrier to faith, Jesus brought God's presence right into that and helped them to believe and to heal. When we struggle to keep the faith, and we all do one time or another, when we doubt, when grief is overwhelming, we remember the way Jesus showed up when there was despair. Bringing God's presence into that place. Showing his own scars. Healed but not completely erased. Reminding us that he's been there and he understands. Back to chapter 11 last time. When Thomas and Mary of Bethany were outside the tomb of Lazarus. Because Thomas was there too, remember? Where his body had been placed 4 days earlier. And while trying to convince them to open the tomb, Jesus said, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." What a challenge God has given us in this life of faith, to believe what we cannot see, cannot prove. But the good news is that we will see God eventually. We'll see his glory eventually. At the end of that faith chapter in Hebrews, it says all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. They didn't receive all that was promised in their lifetimes. Verse 31, the end of the passage that we had today. "These are written," meaning the whole gospel, "these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The promise is that in this life and the next, we will see the glory of God if we believe. Thomas only waited a week to see Jesus. That sounds pretty short to me. We might wait a lot longer than that to see what God is doing, to see God's presence show up in tangible, visible ways that we can clearly understand, even if we're kind of, you know, right down on earth with Thomas, solid realists that need to see. In the meantime, Jesus says to all of us, stop doubting and believe. May we say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God."